It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thanks for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. Broadcasting here on Signal Hill in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it's 50 degrees and sunny, calm winds. And we're looking for clear skies tonight, too, with a low around 42. West wind at 10 miles per hour tonight. Sunny skies tomorrow as well, with a high near 59. Northwest wind to 5. Should become completely calm tomorrow after noon. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak's unemployment rate has dropped. It's time for the Iditarod. Let me tell you all about it. There was a stall to progress being made in the Alaska legislature. Nat Herz tells us about that. And President Biden signed a bill that will allow cruise ships to return to Southeast. Liz Ruskin has that report. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. 9 minutes and 29 seconds, the length of time racial justice activists observed a moment of silence today for George Floyd, who died a year ago today after a police officer pressed his knee on the African-American man's neck for nearly 9.5 minutes. As Minneapolis paid tribute to Floyd's life, his family was in Washington, D.C., trying to secure a legacy. They've been lobbying lawmakers to endorse the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. They also met with the legislation's most prominent political champions, Vice President Kamala Harris and President Joe Biden. Here's Floyd's brother, Philonis Floyd.
It was great. He's a genuine guy. They always speak from the heart, and it's a pleasure just to be able to have the chance to meet with him when we have that opportunity too.
After Floyd's death and the protests that followed, many CEOs spoke out and promised to do more to address racism and inequality. NPR's David Gurr reports in the year that followed, they've begun to implement changes.
Companies gave millions of dollars to nonprofits. Now they're evaluating and in some cases doubling down on the commitments they've made. Rashad Robinson runs a civil rights group called Color of Change.
They have to understand the problems at the systemic level and have to be willing to make changes that are going to be more uncomfortable than simply writing a check.
Some companies, including Microsoft and Starbucks, are tying executive pay to recruitment and retention of Black employees, and they've set concrete goals for more diversity in management and on boards of directors. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken has wrapped up what he calls a busy and productive day in Jerusalem and Ramallah. He's on a diplomatic mission to try to help the region recover following 11 days of fighting between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has the latest.
Secretary Blinken says his main focus is to respond to the urgent humanitarian needs and then work with Israelis and Palestinians to break the cycle of violence.
I've heard a shared recognition from all sides that steps need to be taken, work needs to be done to address the underlying conditions that help fuel this latest conflict.
In Ramallah, he announced more aid to the Palestinians, and in Jerusalem, he reaffirmed Israel's right to defend itself against Hamas rocket fire. The U.S. doesn't talk to Hamas, but Egypt does and played a key role in negotiating the ceasefire. Blinken will travel to Cairo next. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average closes down 81 points, ending the day at 34,312. The Nasdaq fell 3 points, and the S&P was down 8. This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Kodiak's unemployment rate dropped to 6% in April. In April 2020, near the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, unemployment was at nearly 9%. These new unemployment numbers were released last week by the Alaska Department of Labor. According to the Department of Labor, these numbers are important because they mark the first comparisons economists can make against job losses recorded in the first full month of the pandemic 1 year ago. Kodiak's unemployment rate is now one of the lowest in the state, which has a statewide unemployment rate of 6.7%. Additionally, jobs across the state are up 7% over last April. Kodiak also boasts the lowest unemployment in the Gulf Coast region, which includes Kenai Peninsula, Valdez, and Cordova. As the days lengthen and the sun shines down on Kodiak, the rumble and roar of powered sports vehicles echo once again through the trails and backwoods. No doubt their riders are looking forward to the Iditarod coming up this upcoming Saturday. The Iditarod is a long-standing off-road race with ATVs, dirt bikes, side-by-sides, and now foot runners that happens on an annual basis here in Kodiak. According to Leonard Martin, the founder of the race, he dreamed up the idea in 2015 and expanded the race's scope the following year.
What it's developed into is, it's the first year we did it was just ATVs, and we had five teams. But then it developed into, there was a bunch of dirt bike riders wanted to do it, side-by-sides. So in 2016, we let other groups in. So the way it is now, we do dirt bikes for ATVs and then side-by-sides. And you have to have a team, at least two vehicles per team. You can have as many on your team as you want. The object is to get from point A to point B, your whole team, to get a team time.
The race covers 34 miles, beginning at mile 29.5, going south to Lake Miam, looping up by Saltery Cove, and coming back north along the American River. It crosses multiple bridges in various states of repair and represents some of the toughest terrain Kodiak has to offer. The slowest time clocked in at over 21 hours after a series of vehicles got stuck and their riders walked out. The fastest time was 1.5 hours on an ATV in exceptionally good weather, a feat that Martin says will never be repeated. But in spite of the difficulty, the riders love it. They relish the challenge, and the fees for the race go to a good cause.
We donate the proceeds after I pay for the insurance and the permit and buy everybody hoodies and hot dogs and root beer. Whatever's left over, we donate to the veterans, Kodiak Veterans Outreach.
Those interested in the Kodiak Iditarod can register up to Saturday morning, the day of. Information is available at the Iditarod Off-Road Challenge Facebook page. That's the Iditarod Off-Road Challenge Facebook page, or you can register in person at Kodiak Power Sports and Marine. Alaska lawmakers sprinted to try to finish their work before the regular session's constitutional deadline last week, but they failed to pass the budget by then, and now, as Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports, their momentum seems to have stalled.
A week or two ago, the Alaska legislature appeared to be shooting to adjourn their session by this coming Memorial Day weekend. But now the goalposts are moving. Here's how Bert Stedman, the Sitka Republican who chairs the Senate Finance Committee, responded when he was asked if a weekend adjournment was realistic.
No, I don't think so.
The Senate and House have both passed the operating budgets needed to sustain state programs and services when the new fiscal year starts July 1st. But those two budgets have significant differences that lawmakers say are not going to be easy to bridge, particularly when it comes to the permanent fund dividend. The Senate budget proposes a record $2,300 PFD that draws more from the permanent fund's investment earnings than lawmakers have set as the sustainable amount. The House's budget includes no dividend at all, and many members, like Stedman, are strongly opposed to breaking that spending cap.
I don't think to get a compromise on the dividend and the earnings overdraw is going to be very easy. The sooner the better, but the fiscal impacts of a bigger dividend earnings draw are significant, and they're going to come back and be in our lap next year.
Lawmakers are currently in a 30-day special session convened by Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy, but the governor doesn't appear to be playing a big role in the negotiations between the two chambers, and a spokesman declined to say whether Dunleavy was even in Juneau on Monday. He also would not comment on a report by a political blog, the Alaska Landmine, that said the governor was on a remote bear hunt last week. Legislators appear to be similarly scattered to the winds, with just one quarter of House members present for their session Monday and 8 of 20 senators excused. Here's Neil Foster, the Nome Democrat who chairs the House Finance Committee.
I think part of this is some folks weren't expecting to be here this long, and so they had made some other travel plans, and so you've got to get, you know, the full body on both sides together so that you can get concurrence at the end of the day. And I just don't know, you know, how many excused absences are out there.
Lawmakers have just 5.5 weeks to pass an operating budget before their inaction would shut down state government. But if there's no budget by June 1st, Dunleavy's administration will have to send 30-day notices of impending layoffs to state workers, which lawmakers have tried to avoid in the past. Here's Senator Stedman again.
There is significant costs associated with that. There's being documents put together to reflect that so we could make sure that members within the legislature understand that. It's not a costless event.
It also costs extra money every day the legislature remains in session, as members are entitled to $293 a day for living expenses. Those are not paid during a special session, however, until lawmakers approve a fully funded operating budget. In Juneau, I'm Nat Herz.
On Monday, President Biden signed a bill that will allow cruise ships to return to Southeast Alaska this summer. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin has this story.
The bill required a temporary change to the Passenger Vessel Services Act, a law that has stood since 1886. Alaska's congressional delegation beamed as they spoke to reporters outside the White House. Congressman Don Young said it was a great moment.
First time that the Passengers Act has been touched in about 135 years. We feel great as a delegation. We got it done in 10 days.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki called the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act a critical step toward normal for Alaska's economy. She also praised the politics of how the bill became law.
This bill is an example of the critical bipartisan work that can be done in Congress, and the president is grateful to Senator Murkowski and Congressman Young for their leadership in this area.
Nearly all cruise ships are foreign-flagged and have foreign crew. The Passenger Vessel Services Act forbids foreign ships from taking people on domestic voyages. The cruise industry has been getting around the law by stopping in Canada. But with the COVID-19 pandemic, Canada stopped allowing it. The new law gives Alaska-bound cruise ships a temporary break by counting such trips as foreign, even without the stop. Objections to it came from both parties in Congress. Some Republicans, especially Senator Mike Lee of Utah, took a stand against the PVSA in general, arguing it's not useful and should be repealed. Several Democrats saw the bill as an opportunity to pass reforms to the cruise industry. In the end, one item was added to the bill, a requirement that cruise ships carry defibrillators. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan told reporters the signing ceremony presented an opportunity of its own.
You can imagine when you're in there with the president, you can raise other priorities for your state.
Sullivan says they brought up what he says are the merits of advancing the Willow Project, a ConocoPhillips oil drilling venture in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The Togiak herring fishery has wrapped up for the season, and it came with a few surprises. KDLG's Izzy Ross spoke to one fisherman who talked about what stood out and why participating was worth it, even without knowing how much he made.
Gillnetter Frank Woods says his herring harvest this spring was about average, but the season came with a few surprises.
The fish came in ripe and were spawning as they came in, and the age class composition was mixed before they even hit the shore.
Some fish usually spawn as they enter the district, but Wood says normally many spawn only after they reach warmer waters closer to shore. He says seiners reported that mixed age classes made targeting bigger fish difficult. He started fishing about a week after the opener. By then, the fish were smaller.
We started out with 3-inch gear, which is trying to target the 350 or 300 gram fish. We got a bunch, but it soon died out after the fifth and sixth day. It was pretty much over. All the fish had moved offshore.
The total allowable harvest this season was 47,300 tons. Area management biologist Tim Sands says that Togiak herring are thriving.
We feel really confident that we have a strong, healthy population of herring, good spawn. I've seen pictures on Facebook of people getting spawn on kelp that looked really good.
By mid-May, the gear wasn't catching smaller fish. Sands says that was expected.
We have this really big cohort of five-year-olds, which are smaller. So they're so many of them, like literally a billion of them, that they're driving the average size of all the fish down. There's still big fish out there, but there's just so many small fish that the big fish are kind of lost in the masses.
This spring, two processors bought Togiak herring. Because of low fishery participation, the harvest information is confidential. In recent years, the market for herring declined. The fish are still targeted for their roe, but selling herring as bait or food also has potential. And for fishermen like Woods, fishing in the spring allows him to test his boat and crew ahead of the salmon season.
It's a tough sell, you know. I do it because I love it, but there's economic value is way down.
He says what the price will be is uncertain. He thinks the Sitka herring fishery, which opened this spring for the first time in 2 years, flooded this year's market. Beyond the cash value of the fishery, it's an opportunity to practice subsistence.
Look at clams, a herring roe, go seal hunting, and add some herring to his family's freezers and salt a bunch of roe, freeze a bunch of roe. Do subsistence activities where opportunities like that are hard to actually get over there.
Wood says fishing for herring is a way to keep the gillnet quota in Togiak, and he hopes that in the future, a market for herring will benefit local fishermen. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Last week, Donlin Gold announced plans to continue with exploratory drilling for the 2021 summer season. KYUK's Olivia Eberts has more.
Donlin says as of last season, it has discovered higher grade thickness than previously expected at its mine site. According to a paper from Canadian mining company Peloton, that means more efficient gold extraction. Donlin says its 2021 drilling season results could be used to update its feasibility study. The announcement came just a week before the state of Alaska is expected to issue a verdict on a key permit for the company. By this Thursday, the Alaska Commissioner of Environmental Conservation, Jason Bruhn, could either rescind or uphold a 2018 state water quality certificate that was issued to the proposed mine. If the state water quality certificate is rescinded, Donlin may not be able to access another critical permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Donlin has hired workers from 18 YK Delta communities for this season. The company is requiring workers to follow pandemic safety protocols and encourages all employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Grundon's launches a clothing line from recycled fishing nets starting in Cordova. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute works to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
Grundon's, the go-to brand for outerwear and foul weather gear for mariners around the world, is using recycled plastics from old fishing gear for a new line of rugged casual wear. And the first batch contains nets from Cordova.
I think the gillnet fleet is pretty dialed in, but seines are made out of the same type of plastic that gillnets are, so those two gear types can be recycled together.
Nicole Baker is founder of Net Your Problem, which has helped jumpstart fishing gear recycling programs in Alaska since 2017. Baker connected Grundon's with the Copper River Watershed Project, which collects the nets and prepares them for shipping to Europe, where they're recycled into a trademarked yarn made from fishing nets. The first items in Grundon's Net Source collection are men's shorts and women's leggings, but more are in the works. Corey Lowe is a Grundon's spokesman.
We're definitely thinking about how to put it into foul weather gear. We also have some footwear coming that's made out of recycled nylon. We seek to continue to expand it because we believe in it.
Lowe says Grundon's encourages others to join the movement.
We want more and more products to be made with recycled fibers, and we want more plastic to come out of the ocean. So whether we're doing it or our competitors doing it, really what we want is for more plastics to end up in the recycling supply chain.
Grundens hopes more fishermen will opt for recycling.
And then hopefully wear a product from us later on that has some amount of their net in it. It's kind of a cool thing to think about, hey, my net is now hanging off my shoulders as a jacket or something along those lines.
Grundens also is now using 100% biodegradable packaging. By June 2021, all products will be shipped in compostable eco-packaging. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 25th day of May, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 5:28. It won't set again until 10:47, giving us 17 hours and 20 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 3 minutes and 22 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 71, set in 2006. Our record low was 32, set in 2000. And it's currently 51 degrees here in Kodiak under sunny skies. Just a beautiful day out there. We're looking for clear skies tonight, the low around 42. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high near 59. And increasing clouds on Wednesday night. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up at 2:18 p.m. That will be a 7.5-foot tide here on the east side, followed by a low tide at 7:41 p.m. of 1.2 feet. Your next high tide will be at 1:55 a.m. of 10.5 feet, and your low tide for tomorrow morning on the east side will be at 8:42 a.m. and be a big minus tide, minus 2.45 feet. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 2:39 this afternoon. That will be a 15.2-foot tide. Your next low tide will be at 8:31 p.m. and be 0.4 feet. Your high tide for the middle of the night on the west side will be at 2:26 a.m. and be 17.5 feet. And your big low tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will occur at 9:08 a.m. and be minus 4.4 feet. So big morning low tides for tide pooling in the beautiful morning sun tomorrow. Mariners, here's your weather synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A high pressure will remain across the Gulf through Wednesday. A weak front will move near Kodiak Island Thursday morning. Resulting weather, Marmot Island is Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. We do have a small craft advisory for tomorrow. Southwest 15 right now, seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, southwest 25, seas building to 8 feet. Over in the Shelikof on our west side, small craft advisory for tonight and Wednesday. Southwest 20 right now, seas building to 5 feet in the Shelikof. For tonight, southwest 25, seas to 8 feet. And for tomorrow in the Shelikof, southwest 30, seas building to 9 feet. Inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bays. For Chiniak Bay, variable less than 10 right now, seas to 2 feet. For tomorrow and tomorrow night, variable less than 10, seas to 2 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, west winds 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots this afternoon, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, look for west wind to 20 knots, seas to 4 feet. And tomorrow night, west 15, seas to 3 feet in Marmot Bay. You can still sign up for the 2021 Crab Festival Tennis Tournament. It started May 22nd, but is ongoing. But they want you to sign up by today at 5 p.m. To do that, you want to contact Steve Johnson at 907-654-7014. But they're having men's and women's singles and doubles and mixed doubles. The location will depend on the weather. Weekday matches will start at 6 p.m. and run through 10 p.m. Weekend matches will start at 12 noon or earlier and run through 10 p.m. Again, if you'd like to participate in this fun tennis tournament, Steve Johnston, his number is 654-7014, and you need to sign up by 5 p.m. today. The Kodiak City Council will have a work session tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library Multipurpose Room. The meeting is open to the public and will be broadcast on KMXT right here at 100.1 FM and web streamed via the city's website, which is where you can go for your web streaming link as well as agendas and meeting packets. For more information, call the clerk at 486-8636. On Thursday, the City Council will be holding a regular meeting, also in the Kodiak Library Multipurpose Room. It's also open to the public, will be broadcast here at KMXT on 100.1 FM and web streamed from the city's website. For more information, call the city clerk at 486-8636. Things going on at the public library. Have you heard the buzz? Kodiak Public Library is hosting a community beekeeping project. Check out our mini books on everything bee-related or watch a live hive check every Tuesday at 11 a.m. That happened at 11 this morning. But that might still be at the library's YouTube channel. Call to reserve a spot outside with a beekeeper or to watch from inside. For more information, contact Ani at 486-8683. If you're looking for a job, the library is a great place to start your job search with resources for discovering a new career path, creating a resume, and finding local job opportunities. The Alaska Department of Labor is offering several workshops weekly, from creating effective resumes to interviewing strategies. Stop into the library to learn more about these opportunities. AMC and Alaska Sea Grant are conducting fishing vessel drill conductor classes starting on Thursday here in Kodiak. That's Thursday and Friday. On Thursday, it's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Friday, it's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the UFA Seafood and Marine Science Center over on Near Island. This class meets the U.S. Coast Guard training requirements for drill conductors on commercial fishing vessels. It's easy to sign up at www.amsea.org. That's AMSEA.org. Or you can call them at 747-3287. Well, Canna, Alaska Sea Grant, and the Shunack Tribe of Kodiak strongly advise against eating personally harvested shellfish in the Kodiak region at this time. They're currently seeing elevated levels of toxins. Paralytic shellfish poisoning toxins increase dramatically in the summer months and remain through the fall in the Kodiak region. This is due to naturally occurring toxic phytoplankton that bloom in the warm water. All bivalve shellfish, that is clams, cockles, and mussels, as well as predatory snails, and the digestive tissues of crab can accumulate PSP toxins. People are at risk from eating personally harvested, untested shellfish. For more information, contact Grace at 486-1360 or Julie at 486-1514. But again, do not eat untested shellfish in the Kodiak region at this time. AMC is also conducting fishing drill conductor classes in Dillingham. If you're going to be in Dillingham on June 12th and 13th, you can take your classes there. Dillingham, June 12th and 13th. Also in Naknek. In Naknek, they will be conducting classes on June 10th and June 11th. The Kodiak Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak is requesting quotes to charter one purse seine vessel for salmon test fishing, primarily in the vicinity of Cape Uyak on the southwest side of Kodiak Island. The charter will take place over a period of 2 days between June 3rd and June 8th, prior to the commercial salmon fishing period. The quotes will be based on a percentage of the dock value. Verbal or written bids must be submitted by noon Tuesday, June 1st, and will be immediately awarded to the lowest bidder. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reserves the right to reject any or all quotes. If you're interested in finding out how to bid, please contact Michelle Wadham, that's Michelle Wadham, at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game here in Kodiak. And that phone number is 486-1855, 486-1855. There will be an Alaska Jig Association meeting tonight. That's happening at 6 p.m. in Fisherman's Hall. All jig fishermen are welcome. 6 p.m. Fisherman's Hall tonight, Alaska Jig Association. The Assembly is having a work session on Thursday. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. in the Bayside Volunteer Fire Station. Again, Assembly work session, 6:30 p.m., Bayside Volunteer Fire Station on Thursday.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.